And before we get to the dars, we leave some space for any questions related to the subject of the khutbah. If there is any from the net, you can raise your hand now and then send the question. Now,
two questions.
Is it obligatory?
Is it obligatory for the Muslim man to wear a hat, therefore in the blood of your hat? And the second question, did the Prophet wear a robe before Islam? If he did, then what proof could we use to say that the robe is something that is described before?
Now, the first question is, is it permissible for a Muslim man to wear hat? Obligatory. If you mean by the hat, the Muslim hat, not the Western hat, then yes, it is. No, it is not obligatory, but it is recommended, highly recommended. But it is not obligatory by the meaning that if the Muslim doesn't wear it, he is not in sin. But if he wears it, and with the intention to follow Rasulullah SAW, to do like the ulama, then he is going to be rewarded. But if he doesn't, he's not in sin. He's not in sin. Now, the second question is,
Did the Prophet wear
thobe? Okay, did the Prophet wear thobe? First of all, the word thobe in Arabic means any clothes. And the plural of it is thiyab. Today, they are using this word, thob and thiyab, is only for this, what we in Saudi Arabia wear here. The one piece garment that covers whole body and has sleeves. This is in Arabic called qamis. And the Prophet ﷺ did wear the qamis before Islam and after Islam. Like every Arab, they used to wear the qamis before and after. And the clothes of the Arab that time, even before Islam, it was the qamis, the sarwal, which is like the trousers, but not today's trousers size. Like this ones here in Saudi Arabia, we wear underneath the toe. And the barani, like the Moroccan toe, the burnous, which the hat is connected to it. We say the qamis, the izar and the dar, the baranis and the sarawi. Yeah, these were the clothes of the Arabs at that time. Some people may say this is Arab clothes, it's not related to the religion. You say no. Since the Prophet ﷺ and the companions continued using them, and he ﷺ mentioned them in many hadith, then it became part of the deen. And we do not wear because of the Arabs. No, but we wear because that the Prophet ﷺ and the first Muslims used to wear them. Now, first. Sorry? Is the minarets from the Sunnah? A good question. Very good question. 1 second. Is the minarets from the Sunnah? No, the minarets and the mihrab are not from the Sunnah. Are not from the Sunnah. As well as the lines of the rose that are drawn today in the masjid. Not from the Sunnah by the meaning, the Prophet ﷺ did not do this. But, is it permissible? Yes, it is permissible. Is it bid'ah? No, it is not bid'ah. Because the bid'ah means, as Imam al-Shatibi defined the bid'ah, يستاذ البدعة طريقة في الدين مخترعة. طريقة في الدين مخترعة. It is a way in the religion which is invented after the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. تباهي الشرعية. تباهي الشرعية. It is invented and innovated to stand face to face with the one which is found at the time of Rasulullah. See, look at that. Now, يراد بها التقرب إلى الله. And people doing it in order to come closer to Allah. Meaning they are using it as a worship. When we look to these three things, is the mihrab طريقة في الدين المخترعة؟ Yes, it is. It is from the deen because it is not, but it is not from the deen as it is itself worship. Okay? Tubai al-Shara'iyya, yes, because at the time of Rasulullah sallam, Rasulullah sallam used to stand in the first row and the Sahaba from the foreign world. يراد بها التقرب إلى الله. This is the as we call it the differentiation point. يراد بها التقرب إلى الله. Do people build the mihrab in order يعني as a kind of worship, يعني they mean it is part of the deen, then we say this is bid'ah. But if you just do it because they found it now today, Muslims are يعني, larger in numbers, so they said instead of we taking one line for the imam, one row for the imam, so we make the imam come into this kind of opening and the row be for the people who pray behind. I do not recommend it, I do not advise with it, but I say what the ulama say. Many ulama said that we have to look to the situation, the whole thing, all together, with no any separation between the reason why it is built and, you know, building it or having it. Same thing with the rules. And same thing, people do not can worship Allah with it. Again, I myself do not recommend it. But today, you find all the carpet for masajid is made so. Right? It is, I cannot say it is bid'ah. I cannot say it is bid'ah. Right? And the minaret itself. The minaret itself. At the time of Rasulullah, it did not use to do this. But the Prophet ﷺ made the Muaddin to raise the Adhan above the top roof of the Masjid. And the Masjid was level to the houses. At the time of Bani Umayyah, this may be 200 years after the Prophet ﷺ, people started, and Bani Umayyah were in Al-Sham. And Al-Sham is the Romans and the Arabs, you know, buildings and high buildings. At that time, I believe at that time. So the Muaddin, when he used to climb over the top of the Masjid, he could not raise the Adhan to reach all the buildings, because it hit in the nearest walls and it remained there. So from there, they said that it is instead of building and raising the roof of the Masjid, the whole Masjid, to the level of the houses, they said we make a minaret, a big minaret, and the Muaddin climbs it up top, up to the top of it, and then call so people can hear the Adhan. When we see the purpose of it, we don't find that it itself is used for any there is a purpose of it, but the purpose was there, you know. So it's not from the sunnah by the meaning it was found at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is permissible because the Muslims for many hundred years used it and the ulama seen it. They did not object it except for few of them objected it, like every other thing. There is a alim who objected something. Every other thing. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, companion, he objected many things at the time of Uthman. Abu Bakr, Uthman, Umar, Uthman, until Uthman made him to go to Arabah and live alone. Because he objected many things from his own view, people should not do this. Like wearing every time new clothes, eating very top quality food, you know, living in a big house. He did not use to see this is good. He did not say it is haram. But he did not use to see good. So, but Uthman and the other Sahaba, they found it okay. Because there is no reason for it to be haram. So now we say these three things, the minaret, the mihrab, and the lines in the masjid, were not found at the time of Rasulullah because there was no need for it. But today, there is a need for it. There is a need for it. Now, although I say it to be, teach the people to go back to the way of Rasulullah and others, but you can see, people today do not respect the Imam. They do not respect the ulama. How come they listen to them? They will not listen. They will not listen. Allah. Now. Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr. Uthman. The dome is something different. The dome was something that the Christians used to do as part of their religion. And the dome wasn't for the church. The dome was for the grave. Whenever a priest died, they bury him in the church or somewhere like that, and they built a dome on it. Now the Muslims did not bring the dome first to the masjid. Remember that. The dome wasn't brought first to the masjid. The dome in Islam was first brought to the grave. Exactly like what they've seen it. They thought with the Christians that the Christians they built it on graves, so they brought it to the Muslim. To the graves, Muslim graves. Later on, when they saw the Christians burying their priests and bodies inside the church, and they built a dome on the church, so they did that in masjids, in the masjid. Today, many Muslims build a dome in a way of a decoration, and some of them have some philosophy, they say, for moonlight in the daytime in the masjid. Right? But this is something, very special for the kuffar, so we have to avoid and abandon. And this could be said that it is kind of bid'ah, and it is a major, and it leads to a major bid'ah, which is building domes on graves and building buildings around the graves, and burying people inside houses or churches or whatsoever. That is, of course, bid'ah. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the way, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned against it. Because this is something known from the time of Rasulullah and before. And he warned against it. He said that the Christians, whenever a respected person dies, they bury him and build on the grave a building. and built on the grave of the dead. Now, Allah Allah. Any more questions? Now.
Something I want to share.
Fadal here,
then.
Huh?
Fadal
here.
Something I want to share, and I want to share.
Okay.
When they talk about the niqab, they said there is monastery in the niqab, and they mentioned it came to customs. Sheikh Al-Albani is one of the scholars who said the women were with the priestess who were famous in the show. And some of them are basically there who painted this for him. And having said that, he did give one meal, gave a few examples by the way. In one of the books called The Razi, and he mentioned he gave an example of Saudi Arabia and he gave an example of Egypt. And he said, if the woman is in Egypt and she has made a show, he said, because this is the custom, this is the mouth of Egypt, then it's okay for the woman she comes in. He said, even though he always said the woman showed face, his protocol with the woman is allowed to show the face she comes in. He said, however, if the woman is choosing Saudi Arabia and the Ma'ruf of Saudi Arabia, the husband of Saudi Arabia, that everyone should cover, then the woman becomes sin.
Well, I really never come to know this from Sheikh Albani, but what I know from him is that the woman is, it is not obligatory on her to put on the niqab wherever she is in Saudi Arabia. Or whatever. And I never hear that he says that if she's in Saudi Arabia, she's in sin. I don't know.
She becomes sin.
Why? Well, he has his book, the Hijab, and I listened to many of his debates. I never hear that he said in Saudi Arabia, she's
in sin.
But if you go to the, if, I don't remember, but I don't mean that you did not hear it, but if the Sheikh said it, the Sheikh is wrong. Sheikh Albani is wrong, if he said it. Because there is nothing to say that if it is not from the religion, she is going to be sinful. First of all, as they say, أثبت العصر المنقش. First, admit that there is a throne, and then write whatever you want to write on it. Now, is what Sheikh Albani said true, that it is not from the deen, it is only earth? Now, let me ask you a very different question. Does Sheikh Albani consider covering the face from the deen?
He says it's from the command of the something is good. But right. It was something obligatory.
Good based upon what?
On many what can mean is
when we say good, how we consider it good? How we consider anything good? Let's do it another way. To make a fitna, haram or halal? Okay, this is good. Haram. And Sheikh Albani admits it's haram. Right. Face of the woman, and you are a man. Make. Not only for you. Let me ask every man. Okay. It does make a fitna. Right.
So it is haram to make fitna for the Saudis, but it is okay to make fitna for the Egyptians. Forget about the earth now. I'm asking you about the fitna itself. Okay, the earth now. Now the earth, if the earth contradicts with anything from the Sharia, we have to drop the earth, isn't it? Right. Now the Sharia came to protect the societies from the fitna, isn't it? Right? If it is earth in Egypt, it is earth to do khuruj against the hakim. Do we say that it is earth, no problem, but in Saudi Arabia it is not earth, so you don't do khuruj in Saudi Arabia? Is that correct? Because it is the earth there. Why? Well, which hadith is against it? There is clear ahadith, clear ayat in the issue of, and that's why I say, is it from the religion or is it only earth? It's not correct to say covering the woman's face is on the earth. This is not correct. Now I tell you something. As it is on the earth, Sheikh Albani says it is obligated upon the mother of the believers only. That's what he says. Because the ayah of Surah An-Nur, that is for Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. Ya ayah al-Nabi, قُلْ لَأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ. Now, he says that it is obligatory upon the mothers of believers. I ask you, do the Sahaba know the mothers of the believers by their faces or no? They do, because before this ayah, they have seen them. They have seen them. So why women of the Sahaba, the Prophet's wives, were told to cover? Why? ذَلِكَ أَذْنَا أَيُّ أَرَفْنَا فَلَا لِعْذَيْهِ. So they might be known by their faces. So they might be seduced. That's the meaning of يُعْذَيْهِ. By the منافقين who are already seen them. Okay? Now, when it is said that only Ummahat al-Mu'mineen is obligated upon them to cover, while the remaining women of the Sahaba are not, so only the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen are covering, is it more distinguished now or not? More known or not? Now the people who is 100% assured, even the one who never have seen Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, he will know that this is one of the wives of Rasulullah because she is covered. Am I right or wrong?
You're right at this point.
Yeah.
From what I understood, I don't think that would be the
concept of the religion.
The concept of the is actually what it was. It was, you cannot say something is haram if Allah didn't make it haram.
Allah did make it haram.
That's what I'm saying.
I told you, Allah did make it haram. Allah did. In Surah An-Nur. Give me the Sahab, give me the Quran. Give me
the Sahab.
About which one? Yeah. Believe me. Now wait a second. Believe me, I've heard all the debates of Sheikh Al-Bani. And I have read all this. How come what?
They cover the face for me.
Okay.
They ask him, why then you want to be covered?
Oh, Albani is from it. Okay.
So the question was then, he said, because it's better for
them. Yeah, I know that. He said.
It is better for them.
So why is that?
He not put make it around. The point is around. He said, make it around.
Okay, why it is better? This is the question. Why?
It is better for
Why bitter? Why? Bitter. Oh, one second. Let me ask you one question. When we say bitter, hi. لا لا هذا غير عبدنا من أبصارنا هذا غير when we say as Sheikh Nadir said that Sheikh Albani says although believe me I'm more aware about this more than you because when I began seeking the knowledge these the first things that we held all the opinions of Sheikh Albani and after that after alhamdulillah we seek the knowledge we started comparing the evidences that he brought to the other ulama with all respect to Sheikh Albani, he's Imam of Hadith. Imam of Hadith. But it does not mean that he's right from everything he says. No? Yes. Now this. When we say that Sheikh Albani says it is better. No, not in summary. He says it is better for any woman. Right. Now, bitter. Bitter with the meaning of what? Bitter with the meaning of what? She's rewarded? Huh? She's rewarded. Where's the proof? One second. If I wear socks, am I rewarded for that? Yeah, I wear socks. Am I rewarded for wearing socks? Now forget about the intention. Forget about, what do you mean by the wearing socks?
You mentioned earlier, you said it's okay to wear something which is
loose. I wear the socks because I have some injuries in my foot. I don't want people to see. No reward? Buy it. On what basis, you saw the woman covering her face, she will be rewarded.
Because if she's doing it as imitating the wife of the Prophet, then this is the
Sunnah. La la. The wife of the Prophet, now we say that the wife of the Prophet is an exception because it is obligatory upon them. It's obligatory upon them.
That's what I'm saying.
Command from Allah is obligatory, other than it is haram. I gave you now two main points in the argument. When I met Sheikh Albani, I was only a little, very, very, very little student of knowledge. I only know that time ABC. And I never came to think that I will reach the point that I can compare or I can find a different proofs and evidences. But if it is today, believe me, I will sit up at the debate with the Sheikh. Based on these two only, I have others, but only these two. Now, and this does not mean disrespecting, as many people think. Huh? Now, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and that's what Sheikh Albani depends on, and he says it is obligatory upon the mothers of believers. If they don't cover their faces, they are in sin. Correct? Yeah. Okay. When you say obligation, what does it mean? Doing it is reward. Avoiding it is a sin. That is the obligation. That is the wajib. Aywa, mothers of believers. I'm talking about mothers of believers. I'm talking about the mothers of the believers. Why? Can you tell me why Allah made it obligatory upon the mothers of the believers, but not upon the others? Anybody can tell me. This is a good answer. Allah is a good answer.
The age of the something specific to the Prophet.
What?
You thought you gave you one thing.
Right? I'm with you 100%. I have no...
No.
Is it obligatory upon the mothers of believers? Right? Why? Only mothers of the believers. Why? Not others. Huh? So why? Why Allah made it obligatory upon them? Huh? Before that. Uh-huh. Allah said it in the Quran. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. That is the minimum of our protection that they can be known by the faces.
The other,
okay, good. When you go to the books of Tafsir, you find that the ulama speak about what the munafiqeen used to do, accusing the mothers of believers, and mainly the mothers, the mothers of believers, and other women, okay, the Muslim women, they used to accuse them. So Allah Ta'ala said, let them cover their faces. Let your wives cover their faces. So this is the minimum of the ability of covering law. When somebody is covered, she cannot be known who she is. Correct? So people will see this woman who's covering her face, they cannot know who she is. So they don't accuse her. Nice. When we say 9 women in Medina have to cover their faces so they are not recognized, so they are not being accused, it's a way of protection for these 9 women. All the rest of the women are not covered. Now we give them more ability, more chances to be recognized, not only by those who know their faces, even by those new ones who do not know their faces. Because they will say, okay, you munafiqeen, if you want to accuse the woman with covering face. Because there are only 9 in Medina. These 9 are the ones of Muhammad. Who we hate, who we want to accuse. It becomes more easy. Now, if you want to avoid that, you say, all the women must cover. So no one knows which one is which. Even the wives of the munafiqeen, because they say that they are Muslims, they don't say that they are kuffar. Okay? So they say that they are Muslims, correct? Even the wives have to cover their faces. So, and that's logic. If someone is accusing my wife in this compound, is it correct to say that my wife, all people, my wife will cover her face? Everyone else's wife doesn't have to cover her face. And they already don't like to cover their faces. And they already don't cover their faces. Okay? So now, did I make my wife more recognized or not? Because maybe 10, 12, 20, 100 knows my wife by face. But the majority do not know my wife by face. Now, when they see her in the camp walking, they will 100% know that this is Master's wife. Very simple. But when I say, I am the king of this place, every woman has to cover. Every woman has to cover. How come you now know my wife? Even if you know her by face, you cannot now make her up. You cannot say that this is Malki's wife. Because they all are covered. And this is a protection for all the women from being accused. And on the other side, the fitna. If we talk about fitna, are the Sahaba going to have fitna with their mother? When you come to look to it, It's not your logic. This is my mother. I know that it is forbidden for me to marry her anyhow. So, even if she is uncovered, I must not have any desire with her. But with other women, yes, it will come. And the shaitan will, you know, play in that area. So, logically, it cannot be that only 9 women, the niqab is obligatory upon them. From them, some old women. Amongst the Sahaba, some very pretty women. So they are, the pretty women are told not to cover, or it is not obligatory, let me just hold of my statement. Not obligatory to cover, but the 9 women is obligatory to cover. That is not logic. That is not logic. Today, if we take this principle that Sheikh Albani wrote, as you say, I didn't hear it from him. I didn't read it from him. But maybe. Now, he says it depends on the earth. Is this correct? This is not correct. When you come to practically measure, it does not work. Now, in Saudi Arabia, we know, now many rumors outside, they say that in Saudi Arabia, the men are looking for women more than any men outside, because the women in Saudi Arabia are all covered. This is not correct. And I can prove it. The fornication, where is it more? In Saudi Arabia or outside? It's outside. Outside more fornication than in Saudi Arabia. Because and outside they can't see the beauty. Where they? Where more? In Saudi Arabia or outside? In the West, more than here. Am I right?
That's
take it from me, 200%.
Because I know
the issue was that the Arab issue was the argue Sheikh Albani of this, he says the jilbab, the khimar is not to cover the face. It's only the head and the chest. Linguistically, he was made wrong. It is not correct. No problem, we can go back. But it is not correct what he says. No.
Yes.
No. No. Look at this. No. No. Please view that. Very important. He brought it to be an evidence for him, but I find it an evidence for me.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Okay, go ahead.
In Yugoslavia, when my daughter was a traveler, but she started in Azerbaijan, and entered Pakistan, Spain, two guys from the year, covered their lives.
No.
No.
They never see a conference
room.
No.
Because
of that, the 9/11. No. They shot these two. Yeah. Huh? Yes. Yeah. They shot this lady, which is covered. Fine.
Because no cover, they don't see cover. My daughter was there, but they don't want to know.
So what do you mean to say?
My daughter may have it, but they shot because there's nothing else. They never see them. But now I
can't say that. Now all the other ones are going to be.
No. I think it's just that we go back again. Everybody agrees on the
death challenge. I mean, some more about Albani's opinion or about the issues?
I want to go back to Albani's book because I have it.
Okay, let's first of all with the principles. We are not Albani's, we are Muslims. Let's talk about the issue itself.
I'm not going to tell Sheikh Albani.
No,
one second. It's not to be seen like, yani I want to defend Albani or I want to attack Albani. No, we are talking about the issue itself. Now, when you go back to Tafsir ibn Kathir, and you see this ayah, the Tafsir of this ayah, you see that Ibn Mas'ud said, وَلَا يَدِينَ دِينَةَ أُمَّةِ, he said that they used to look on, make one eye, they make a hole for one eye only to see the road. What does that mean? When you hear that Aisha radiallahu anha said, رحم الله ونساء الأنصار, لما نزلت آية الحجاب, خرجنا إلى الصلاة كأنهن الغربان من السواد. When the women of Al-Ansar went for Fajr in the night, in the morning, of which that the ayah was descended, of covering the face, they were not known, they were pale black like the black cross. So what does that mean? Sheikh Albani says, the women in Hajj, who Ibn Abbas, the Prophet of Islam used to go see, this is not a proof. First of all, in Hajj we know that the woman has to cover her face, There is an argument about the woman in Ihram, to cover or not cover, or we have the belief that it will have to cover. But there is here a kind of debate, right? Because the hadith is clear, not to cover. The exception came from the action of Aisha, not from the speech of Rasulullah s.a.w. Okay, that's why there is a kind of, no. But if we will admit that the woman not to cover, it will be in the ihram. But again, the story of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas is not a proof, because it did not say that Al-Fadl ibn Abbas was looking to the faces. But they were running and he was looking to the bodies. They are young ladies. And when they run, their bodies are tough. And that's why in the Sunnah, from the Sunnah, the woman does not run between this, in the Safa and Marwa. Why? Because it's an attraction. It's an attraction to the men when the woman runs. The body movement is an attraction to the men. Right? So, this means that Al-Fadl ibn Abbas might have been attracted by the physical movement of the bodies of these young ladies, not necessarily by their faces. And one second. Which is easier? To push the face of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas or the Prophet ﷺ tell those ladies to cover? Right. Is this a munkar or not a munkar? Now a man is looking. How to kill this munkar? Now the Prophet ﷺ will only bush the face of Al-Fadl. Is Al-Fadl ibn Abbas the worst of who is there? So we look only Al-Fadl ibn Abbas to look? This is not correct. But Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, they were running. Al-Fadl ibn Abbas was following them and looking to them when they are running. It does not mean that Al-Fadl ibn Abbas was in desire, but it may lead him to, so that the Prophet ﷺ pushed his face to the other side.
But would you use that against
the
wife?
No.
Would
no.
Say that so that is not obligatory? That's why the Prophet ﷺ...
What is not obligatory? I'm telling you, there is nothing in the hadith that says anything about the same.
That's what I'm trying to say. The fact that the Prophet turned away the face of the
Prophet, right?
We're assuming that these women were not covering their face.
Right, I'll tell you something. Who said that? Who said? I'm telling you, they were running. Now, he is on the camel behind the Prophet. The women are running. Still, when they run, still he is seeing the faces? They were running. They all were going from Muzdalifah to Mina. They all were going to one direction, from Muzdalifah to Mina. And Fadl ibn Abbas is behind the Prophet ﷺ. The woman was running. So, running is faster than the camel. Besides that, the Prophet ﷺ was calling them and others, As-Sakina, As-Sakina, this one, slowly. So he told these women, as well as the others, don't be so fast. Slow down, slow down. And in the meantime, he pushed the face of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas. The women fast, the women fast. Al-Fadl ibn Abbas is at the back of the Prophet ﷺ. Correct? On the cover. If the women were at the back and Al-Fadl was looking, the Prophet ﷺ could not see it. Because Al-Fadl is at the back of him. The woman at the back, the father is looking to the back, like this. So how can the Prophet ﷺ see it and push his face? But when they passed by the Prophet ﷺ and their bodies seen, they are young women. So he ﷺ pushed his face not to be attracted with this vision, and at the same time he was saying, As-Sakina, As-Sakina, to everyone who is running, who is fast, who is hurrying. He said, As-Sakina, As-Sakina. So he ﷺ did inkar al-munkar to this woman, who there is no dalil that the face or the father was looking to the face. There is no dalil that the father was looking to the faces. But there is a dalil that al-father was looking to them. To them. And as we said, them could be the faces, could be the bodies. Am I right? Right. How come the Prophet ﷺ see their faces uncovered, and you see the closest one to him, Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, be attracted so badly, and he just find it enough to push the face of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas? What about the other Hujjat? What is he going to do? Did he say something other than As-Sakina? Because As-Sakina is a gimmick what this woman was doing. They were not having As-Sakina, they were hiding. And this woman will show the attraction. So he gave the command to these people, verbally, As-Sakina. And he gave the command practically to Al-Fadl by pushing his face to the other side. And in the hadith, there is no dalil that it is for the face, or let me be just with you. There is no dalil to say he was looking to the face or to the body. So this hadith cannot be used. Huh? It is more likely that they were wearing it.
And I think some of the scholars, they made
it weak. Yeah, it is weak. Sheikh Al-Albani is Rasulullah. Sheikh Al-Albani is one of the mujtahid of hadith. Am I right? Why do we consider every hadith Sheikh Al-Albani authentic must be authentic? This is one of these. This is one of these hadith that Sheikh Albani said it is authentic, but many other ulama of hadith, not shuyukh, away from hadith, said that it is not authentic. And they proved it. And they proved it.
Can we study
it? No, this is, if you don't mind, no, no. To study this book, to understand this book, to refute this book, you've got to study the principles of tafheeh and tab'eef and fiqh, so you can know from where the ulama said the adillah, from where, because it's not understanding to be, and this is the mistake, that even Sheikh Al-Albani used to refute. This is the Bahiriyya. Sheikh Al-Albani wasn't Bahiri. Right? This is the idea. So it must be clearly said it is haram. That is not correct. Because as Allah Ta'ala said, the ulama extract the adilla from the ayat. Which the same ayat, which are the same ayat that the Bahiriyya read, but they cannot see. Right? So to say we study this book, no, I don't, but if you want us to study the whole issue from both sides, inshallah, but I don't think that I'll have time recently to do the full study like that. But I have I did the study in the past.
What I'm trying to say is the point of the book. Because you...
Which book?
Let's say from the other book.
Right.
The last book, because it came to the Jews.
Right.
So, let's say the other book is the last book of Jews. And we read it. And obviously, you've studied all the mistakes of the whenever we come to a statement that we make, and there is a reputation stack, then we can meet, we can more or less call out. And that will bring all the proofs together.
But how? Okay, when we face a hadith like Hadith Asma, how are you going to agree with those who say it is weak?
No, but what I'm trying to say, we can not talk about weak. I'm not talking about the end because we are not the people of the
world. What do you need from this kind of study?
Allah, I mean, this is my...
Now, what do you want from this study?
In order to be a better picture for us, maybe I'll just one month. I believe. I have no problem.
So, but I mean, yani when we come, yani most of the argument in this issue between Albani, or not Albani, even before Albani, some other ulama, and other ulama, is based on Mustalah Hadith, yani Usul Takhrij, and Usul Fiqh. These are the two, and we are not studying these two fields of knowledge. So we cannot do it. The conclusion of Sheikh Albani and the conclusion of Tawajri or other cannot be studied like that from us, because if we study the book of Albani, we will take the opinion of Albani. If we study the book of Tawajri, we will take the opinion of Tawajri. But when we have the principles of Mustalah Hadith and the principles of Mustalah Hadith and the principles of Usul Fiqh, then we can. But without them, believe me, it is not fruitful.
What I'm trying to say is, if we take the word religion, you have basically refuted the Sheikh Al-Albani on each issue that he mentioned.
Yeah.
That will give us, because once you hear
it, believe me, it is not like that. Believe me. You will only take my opinion. I'm telling you. No, one second. You or other, if we do it this way, will take only my opinion, my conclusion, because I have the principles, you don't. Whatsoever thing I'm going to discuss with you, you're not going to understand it. You know what I mean? My advice to everybody is go and study the principles. That's it. Principles of Mustalah, principles of Lugha, principles of Qur'an, and become a student of knowledge to, or you can say, khalas, I'm not able, I will take one alim opinion and I stay with it. Khalas, up to you. But here we should not have arguments. You know what I mean? Not you, I mean anyone. If suppose now Dilfaqar believes, he takes the opinion of Albani and he believes that it is not necessary it's not obligatory Abu Nu'man to cover. If the Fakar takes that, and the Fakar does not have the principles of Mustalah Hadith, nor the principles of Usul Fiqh, nor the Lugha. So, he should take that opinion and stay with it. Understand? Until he seeks the knowledge, then he can review the sources of this Adilla. And that's the meaning of Ahmad ibn Hanbal saying when he said, don't take my statement or Al-Za'is or Shad'is or what takes from what, where we talk. One second. The man who read this statement, is that Ahmad Muhammad? Is that Al-Za'is? To reach that level, you can understand the way they understood. You know what I mean?
When you come here, you get like this, for the opinion, obviously you don't have the knowledge to...
That's what they said, yeah, true.
I'm just asking what reason, I mean, if you are from a certain opinion now, you should have a strong opinion. Just because that's the opinion that came to you, it's personal, then the second opinion comes. I mean, so I'll get confused now, I'm sure, right? What do you do when I have to do that?
I tell you what to do. Here's the advice that I always give to everyone.
There is a hadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that he صلى الله عليه وسلم says, as in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ للدين وعزه. The lawful is clearly known. The unlawful is clearly known. In between, there are things that many people do not know the ruling on them. So what to do? So فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ. Now we take this issue. There is a shubha here. Some ulama say it is obligatory. We know from the principles of fiqh that the obligatory thing is what if you do it, you'd be right. If you don't do it, you'd be sinning. Right? Fine. Now, the other ulama say, no, it is not obligatory, but it is preferable, bitter. We know that what is bitter, what is preferable, is something if you do, you will be rewarded. If you don't, you will not be sent. Fine. Both sides agree that if you do it, you will be rewarded. Both sides agree that if you do it, you will be rewarded. One side says, if you don't do it, you are not sinning. But the other say you are sinning. Now, the hadith of Na'man ibn Bashir comes to finalize this and say, go with those who say it is obligatory. If you don't have the principles of how to study the proofs and evidence of both sides, if you are not a high class talib al-ilm, if you are not high class talib al-ilm, what you do? It is wrong. What the people doing is wrong. Many people are even here and say, oh, in Sharh al-Mumta. Yeah, in Sharh al-Mumta is not for the awam. Sharh al-Mumta is a book that explains the principles of the madhab of Imam Ahmad, but this is for Tullab al-Ilm, an advanced Tullab al-Ilm, not for the awam. Okay? And on the other side, he says, the book of Sheikh Albani, whatsoever book of Sheikh Albani. Ya akhi, the book of Sheikh Albani is full of words that the book of Sharah, take it and read it in the masjid. People will not understand what you say. They will not understand what you say. Because this is a book that is based on the, yani, what we call it, it's scientifically written. It's for the witness to understand. And that's why Sheikh Al-Bani, Hajj, he has book. And he has a brief of it for the awam. Salah, he has a book. And he has a brief of it for the awam. Because these books are for students of knowledge and advanced students of knowledge. Not anybody. The problem is, people just pick the book and read. And they get in confusion. In the West, they just translate anything, and they sell it. So people take it and, or like this. And that's why in the one house, you see many different opinions. In the one house. Now.
What if the degree of attraction is lower or reduced? Suppose in the case of India, Pakistan, or any other country. Without it, it's okay because the opposite sex will not get attracted to the pain. Therefore, the degree of attraction is higher than the pain.
I said, this is wrong. And I gave you the proof. Where more fornicating, where more raping? In India or here? Why? Because more attention. But let me just tell you something else. Actress. The female actress. And the TV. What do they beautify more? Not their lips? They don't put makeup on their lips? No. They don't put makeup on their lips. They don't put, what do you call that, I don't know what the name is of it, even in Arabic.
So they beautify their faces because the attraction is there. Rasulullah said to the man who said, I have a proposed mate for a woman of Al-Ansar. He said, did you look to her? He said, no. And they did not use to cover. So why you again will say that? You know what I mean? So this is not correct. This is what the Muslims and on their way want to say. They want to say that when the woman is covered, she is more attractive. Welcome them. Aisha described him like the black crows. The black crow is attractive? I never hear that the black crow can affect anybody. Now, first of all, discussing it from the halal and haram and wajib and not wajib, that is one thing. According to the Dalil, yes, it is obligatory upon the woman wherever she is, even if she is on the moon. And there is an al-mahram man, she will have to come. According to what you say, let's take it logically. You are saying, and I'm telling you that, I have said it in the middle of my talk, and I can repeat it now. This is what the Western and Westernized Muslims are saying, that in the countries where the woman is exposing her face, there is a misattraction and seduction between men and women. While in the countries where the woman covers, there is a big attraction. That is wrong. Tell you something. As you go to the souk, the supermarket, whatever souk, here in Jeddah, you will see 90% of women covering and 10% uncovering. Right? When you go to the hospital, you will see 90% uncovering and 10%, or it may be, maybe 40% uncovering, which are the staff. Where is the more attraction now? In the hospital or in the soul? In the hospital. The hospital, because you see more beautiful faces. More beautiful faces. Am I right? You are a man, I'm a man. What first thing attracts you to the woman? Can you please tell me? What first thing attracts you? When you hear a smooth voice from a certain direction that you did not look, where you point your eyes to, you hear something from the right side, a woman, very nice, very smooth voice is speaking from the right side. Are you going to look immediately to the ground, to the right side? No, you're going to look at your eyes because you want to see the eyes. And not only that, the eyes are the most beautiful thing on the face. And that's why Ibn Mas'ud said that the woman that time used to show only one eye to see the world. To see the world. Again, what the woman do in Saudi Arabia and the Gulf, some women do this and opening on the eye and bring the eyebrows and this. This is wrong. This is not the niqab which should be. This is more seduction and more attraction. And all the ulama said this is forbidden. Right? The niqab which the Prophet said in the hadith, لا تنتقب. Why the Prophet would say if it is only the mothers of the believers? لا تنتقب المحرمة. Or for those who prefer to cover. No, that's not correct. It's not correct. And he said, let him taqib means that kalbus al niqab. She does not wear the niqab, which niqab is the cover which has a hole. That is the meaning of naqb. As a sort of kaf. Now, naqb means a hole. So, these women are having this cover with holes. But the holes that they made at that time
is only to make them able to see doing. That's it. Not to be, yani, more to give, to make more attraction. Allah Alam. Now.
This is very relevant. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. What I understood from Sheikh Al-Bani, I've read the recitation. What I understood is the concept he wants to make that nobody should use the word haram. That's what I understood from Sheikh Al-Bani. I understood that the fact he's refuting the Messiah who said it's haram for them.
No, he's not. Let me just correct you. He's not. He's not refuting no one. But he is refuting the word obligatory. That the niqab is obligatory. He's saying it is not obligatory. It is permissible.
Yeah.
Right. Even if we say that he's refuting the word haram and he doesn't accept anyone to say haram for what is not clearly said haram in the Sharia, I say this is yani refuted. Because we all agree that this is fitna, and fitna is haram. Allah Ta'ala said, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. And fitna is haram. And even when you go back to the, in any language, but let me just say it in Arabic because this is what I know. They say, إيش يقولون؟ عيون في طرفها حور قتلنا ثم لم يحيينا قتلانا. They say eyes which has beauty in it killed us, and then they did not bring us back to life. They did not kill them by the meaning they took the thoughts out, but they put them in seduction. The eyes. Look, the other one is saying, تُفْضِ الطَّوَافِ تَرَى الْغَزَالَ الْمُحْرِمَةِ. These are poems from the Arabs, the old Arabs, after Islam came. Tufd al-Tawafi, if you want to see the face of the woman, the beautiful deer, the face of the beautiful deer, he go to the Tawaf. This must be a Fasiq one who said that, but he knew that in the Tawaf, the women are uncovered. Outside the Tawaf, they are covered. Why? Because different opinions in the Tawaf. But outside the Tawaf, no, and that's why he said, if you want to see the beautiful woman, you go to the Tawaf. You see what I mean? Yes, there is a different opinion, but the strong opinion, even in the Tawaf, whenever there is a stranger man, woman has to cover. Woman has to cover because Aisha radiallahu anha said that they used to do that with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and later with Uthman. أظن أن لم يعد وقت الدرس لكن نأخذ والتكت. How many ladies there? So two. Rashid is his wife only. So One blade is enough? Five. Yeah, Abdullah. This is Omar. Six women? Or two women? Six plus one blade. And whenever they need, we can give them one. And we need maybe two or three. Three? Two? Right. Someone wanted to say something. Lala, someone wanted to say something. Oh, yeah.
There's a hadith of the
Prophet
about the
Khamar. No.
And you mentioned that the Khamar is
the head of the Khamar. I did not mention that the Khamar is
I said that the Sheikh Albani says that the khimar only means head cover and chest. Only means that. Yes, the hadith says إن الله لا يقبل من امرأة من حائض صلاة إلا بخمار إلا بخمار. But does this mean if the woman is praying amongst the men? لا لا, the word khimar is general. It's general. That's what we say. It is general. We cannot say, "Oh, this is the proof that the face is not to be covered because the khimar in the eye." And
so my question for you
is: Ah, okay.
If the woman is
there at
home, what does
she have to cover? All of her body except the face and the hands. The hands in the hand from the wrist to the fingers.
I mean, because,
yeah, like the Punjabis, the Pakistanis. لا لا لا, she has to cover with the khimar. اثنين عليهن, يعني khimar from the top to the bottom, one piece. Yeah. No, she, it's not, it must not be, what do you call that, sword or touch? With a sleeve, must not be with a sleeve, but it's one thing, one thing. You can see they sell it here in the market. One thing. Yeah. Good.
As a trust problem, somebody asked about the cover and all the things. For me, I tell them exactly what you said.
Right.
I think the shift is very important. And I tell them it's better if you cover that floor. Because now the issue is between, is it wise or not wise?
No.
That's where the issue is.
This principle we teach it to everyone. Everyone. When the ulama have different opinions on something, it is haram for halal. What is the best thing you do is to avoid it. To take the opinion that says it's haram. When you take it, you are on the safe side. When your ulama say it is wajib or mustahab, you can take it as a wajib, because you are on the safe side. If they say it is haram or makruh, it is better to take it as haram. Center and wajib, and the like. So always be in the safe side. Always be in the safe side. Huh? That is based on the hadith of Al-Nu'man al-Bashir, which is a great, great guidance from the Prophet ﷺ to the whole Ummah. By what Allah Ta'ala made him to know that there will be times that this Ummah will have lesser ulama, and the majority, these number of Muslims who do not know about their deen. So what they do? Take this hadith and be safe, halas. Two ulama. One say this, yani, you did not see much ulama, but you are in a place where two tulab ilm only. You do not know about ilm, you do not know about nothing, but two tulab ilm. One said, this link, which is not khamr, I don't want to mention any name, so it's not become a commercial. This drink, one of them says it's haram, and the other says it's not haram. What is the best thing to do? Avoid it. خلاص. That is the best for you. But this principle, you must not fall for it. You come and see someone drinks and you say, how can you drink? This is haram. I say, akhi, no. Two different ulama say, yani, have different opinions. And there is no clear evidence. So how can you say you do amr ma'ruf wa nahy munkar? But if you know that this man takes the same opinion as yours, that this is haram, and you see him drinking it, yes, you do amr ma'ruf wa nahy munkar with him. Because he now did something against what he believes. which is wrong. You got the point?
The only way is when you get somebody, even close people to you, and you say, you try to give them the sympathy, and you say, you know, it's better not to do this. You say, why? Is it haram? And it is not haram, it's true, it's not haram. But then you say, well, don't you want to get reward?
No problem, it's coercion, but it is not to be raised to a debate level to, you know, disputing, no? That's okay. You call people to what you believe, that's your duty, your wajib. But if you are not talib al-ilm, and you know the hadith, the adillah, if you are not, yani, capable to study both opinions and can choose which is better, then you cannot fight them. Now, that's just before we go to the lunch, I want to, inshallah, declare something to the brothers and sisters who are in the net and in the masjid. Then, inshallah, the durus and end for all will begin, inshallah ta'ala, from tonight, 11 p.m. Saudi Arabia time with Sunan Nasa'i, inshallah, the simulation of Sunan Nasa'i daily, inshallah, except Thursday and Friday, Wednesdays and Thursdays. And this will be Arabic English. And from Saturday until Saturday until Tuesday, daily after Asr, we have, it is around, these days it's around, we set it up, we said 5 o'clock. Sometimes the Maghrib goes closer, then the dars gets shorter. Sometimes the Maghrib goes farther, then we make it longer. But it is 5 o'clock all the time. 5 o'clock Saudi time, Kitab al-Tawheed, which is yani, the time given for Aqidah. Now we are doing Kitab al-Tawheed. And after Maghrib, which is around these days, we'll say all this after Maghrib. But these days it is 6:15, we are having Sharh Mukhtasar Sahih Muslim. That is in the fiqh. Sharh Mukhtasar Sahih Muslim. Naam? Now, this is Sundays and Tuesdays. And after Isha, Sundays and Tuesdays, we have Riyadh al-Salihin in English. Riyadh al-Salihin. So, Sundays and Tuesdays. This are the durus here in the masjid, Sundays and Tuesdays. The durus in the masjid, but it's going to be also on the net, on Pulse.fm and for all. La, Riyadh al-Salihin will be only English. Yeah, for the non-Arab speakers here in the masjid. Now. As well, yeah. It's going to be as well. And the Mukhtasar Sahih Muslim is going to be only Arabic. So Sundays and Tuesdays you have between Maghrib and Isha, Mukhtasar Sahih Muslim, that is only Arabic. After Isha you have Riyadh al-Salihin, that is only English. All the other classes, Arabic English. Like the everyday Sunnah Say Arabic English, the everyday Kitab al-Tawheed Arabic English. In regard to the Arabic language, to the Arabic language classes, I'm holding them until sometime because I'm getting busy a little bit these days. Inshallah, in the future, we'll turn back, inshallah, for all these classes. This is what we want to announce. Wallahu a'lam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.